as you just mentioned there, the way they express their love is in a way that might make other siblings feel, okay, we're not the loved ones. But that's not true. They love their children all in all. And there's no difference between any one of them. Maybe they like some others for some qualities, just as you mentioned, because some of the children are more patient. Some of them are good counselors. Some of them are better in some features. But then, after all, the heart of a mother and the heart of a father can never be like the one who does, you know, bad things to their children. They would never wish any harm for their children.
Yeah. But it's also, again, important for parents to be aware of this and watch out for how they behave in front of their children.
Now, that's why they say before bringing up a child, you have to go and study too much, whether it be for psychological points or behavioral things, you know, to learn
about how to, because all of these do proper things, upbringing.
Yeah, these are all skills, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And there are a lot of resources in this area. And there are some places there are like resources like psychology, like religious studies. And also sometimes there are resources like the experience of other people. When you go and you read about or you talk about, you hear about other people's experiences, you learn a bit about what should we do and what should we not do. And the Quran is a great example and a great source for you to look
and
into.
The narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam also in this regard, in the upbringing, would help you too much. You can go and search for them because they would give you some interesting clues about how to nurture your kids,
who to give gifts first when you come home after a trip,
what image
you should present of yourself to them.
You should never break the personality of the eldest in front of the other siblings. Mm-hmm. The eldest one must be kept as just the king of them. You should just take care of the elder one.
Are you the eldest?
No, I'm the youngest. One before the youngest. Mm-hmm. No, but I'm just saying, we have it in our narrations that you have to keep the track of the orders, respect them by their age, and a lot of things.
Give responsibilities to them by their age, and a lot of really important points on raising healthy, happy children who will grow into healthy, happy, good adults.
Exactly, because as I just said, the way you bring up your children is going to affect the society, because these guys are going to be a part of a larger group and community. And then the way they're going to act with others is dependent on the way you have acted with them and the way and how you behaved with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting and at the same time complicated topic to discuss. And I'm sure what we do in Youth Station is to open up a box of worm, and the rest of the story is up to you.
We plan on letting those buckets of worm feed on your brain and tickle your brain and
then for you to go and search. Yeah. Go and search and see what you have done, what you must do, and things like that in order to, you know, be a better person, have a better life.
Yeah.
This is all about it. So, this was all the time that we had for today's episode, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, thank you very much. This was Zahra and Asma. So, we bid you farewell from IRB English Radio, Youth Station. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, whoa, 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 whoa. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
Zionist settlers have threatened West Bank children with bloody dolls. The dolls left at a vandalized Bedouin school and leaflets warning of a major Nakba are part of a series of escalating attacks by militant Israeli settlers against innocent Palestinians since the start of the war. Regarding this issue, we take a look at the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Militant Zionist settlers in the occupied West Bank have distributed threatening leaflets on cars and left bloody dolls at schools, warning Palestinians to leave the area or be killed. "By God, we will descend upon your heads with a great catastrophe soon. You have the last chance to escape to Jordan in an organized manner," said one of the leaflets circulated on Friday in the West Bank city of Salfit. "After that, we will destroy every enemy and forcefully expel you from our holy land. Load your bags immediately and leave wherever you came from. We are coming." The leaflet also warned of a major new Nakba, referring to the 1948 displacement of 750,000 Palestinians from their homeland. In the occupied Al-Ma'rajat area near the Palestinian city of Al-Ariha, dolls covered in red paint, ostensibly to look like blood and scare young students, were left at the entrance of a school after militant settlers vandalized the school. Before Hamas's surprise attack on 7th of October, militant settlers harassed and assaulted Palestinians on a daily basis under the protection of the Israeli army, acts that have escalated in the past few days. In the town of Deir Estia, west of Salfit, olive farmers have become accustomed to annual attacks during harvest season by militant Zionist settlers. This year, local journalist Abdelkader Agl told Middle East Eye that settlers are much more active and seem to be couching their attacks as revenge for Hamas's assault on Israel. This week alone, there were more than 10 attacks on Palestinian farmers, threats, shoutings, intimidation, and expulsion of Palestinians from their land, he said. One Palestinian farmer was injured after militant settlers hit his head with a baton. He fainted, and when he woke up, he found the settlement guard pointing a knife at him. Abdelkader Agl added, "Olive pickers in the same town were surprised to find leaflets pasted on their car windows saying, 'You wanted war, wait for displacement.' They also published pictures of families picking olives and incited them for no reason. Because of these threats, the people started heading to their lands in the whole groups to protect themselves," Agh said. In Al-Ma'rajat area, where settlers attacked the Arab Al-Kabna school and left the bloody dolls there, human rights defenders say residents in the Bedouin community are repeatedly attacked by militant Zionist settlers who aim to displace residents and seize their lands. Hassan Malihat from the Al-Baydar Organization for Defending Bedouin Rights said the settler groups have repeatedly attacked the community with the aim of displacing its residents and seizing their lands. On Thursday evening, Hassan Malihat told Middle East Eye, settlers threw stones at the residents' homes in this community where 1,200 Palestinians live and seized their livestock. Attacks on the Kabna Arabs are repeated, and they filed complaints with the Israeli police to no avail, he said. The Common Dreams website has also covered the same story and tells us more. Militant West Bank Israeli settlers are vowing to slaughter Palestinians, leaving bloody dolls and leaflets with warnings to flee the area or to die. The revelation in recent days of two separate Israeli plans for the permanent expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza has stoked fresh fears of ethnic cleansing in the besieged Gaza Strip. While Zionist settlers in the illegally occupied West Bank are vowing to slaughter Palestinians there if they don't flee to Jordan. While the world is focused on the horrors unfolding in the Gaza Strip, Israeli soldiers and militant Zionist settlers have killed more than 100 Palestinians and wounded nearly 2,000 others in the illegally occupied West Bank of the River Jordan, where Jewish colonists are threatening to start a great Nakba if Arab residents of the area don't pack up and permanently leave their homes and farms and flee to neighboring Jordan.
This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, Avoiding Hidden Shirk. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are two types of shirk. 1. Open shirk. 2. Hidden shirk. That is, open polytheism and hidden polytheism. Well, what's the difference? Open shirk is when a person worships an idol, for example, a physical idol. Open shirk is when a person denies the existence of one God. Open shirk is when a person rejects the authority of one God. Brothers and sisters, these are few of the instances how one can perform, God forbid, open shirk. We know that open shirk is an unforgivable sin. Now let's talk about the hidden shirk, the hidden polytheism. The hidden shirk is when someone does not necessarily worship idols or denies and rejects the existence and authority of one God, but in his intentions creates partners to Allah and complains against God's will. We will discuss one of the hidden shirks in today's program, but understand that when we talk about hidden shirk, it's different from the open shirk. Open shirk is easy to identify. It's easy to avoid. It's easy to deal with. But when it comes to the hidden shirk, it is sometimes very difficult to even identify, let alone avoid it or deal with it. So we know that we have to, at any cost, avoid not just the open sin, but a hidden shirk as well. Well, Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing two types of shirk, the polytheism. One is the open shirk, open polytheism. The other is hidden shirk or hidden polytheism. And we said that the open shirk is many a times easy to identify and avoid. Hidden shirk, not necessarily. It becomes a bit tricky. Islam does not allow showing off, for example, in worship, and considers it as a cause of making actions void and useless. It is a kind of shirk when you show off to other people, especially when you're doing some good job, right? Some good action. Let's say you're praying, you're fasting, you know, you're paying zakat, you know, there are Islamic taxes and so on and so forth. If you're showing off, right, it is a kind of shirk. If man's actions are for the sake of Allah and to show obedience to Him, to be thankful to Him, to come near to His glory, to acquire His mercy and love, or at least to obtain the reward of the hereafter and to be saved from its punishment, they will be correct and fruitful. But if your actions are for the sake of other than Allah and to get some material benefit, such as fame, importance, status, you know, they will be in vain and will be fruitless. Some people run after maintaining, first acquiring and then maintaining their social status, and hence they go to, like, let's say, masjids and, you know, mosques, and they try to volunteer to show off. Brothers and sisters, we have to be very clear. This showing off, if you're doing it for other people to start respecting you and start praising you, you have just managed and maintained to lose all the reward of this action. So we have to, at any cost, inshallah, avoid hidden shirk.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime's recent attacks on the Gaza Strip has exposed the West's hatred of Palestinians. The recent contempt shown for Palestinians reveals that the West hasn't become less hostile towards them. Rather, any sympathy is confined to the Palestinians being passive victims. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Middle East Eye has covered this story and tells us more. The ongoing Zionist regime war against Gaza Strip has galvanized massive Western support for Israeli Jews, coupled with genocidal calls to finish off the Palestinians from across the Western political spectrum. Indeed, even voices sympathetic to the Palestinians condemned the breakout against their Israeli prison guards on 7th of October. They also rushed to adopt Israeli propaganda, including the outlandish claims of decapitated babies and rapes, which were later quietly retracted by the very same Western media outlets like CNN and the Los Angeles Times that initially helped spread these fabrications. This fanatical Western hatred of the Palestinians and adoration of Israel has shocked most Arabs, even those who already considered the West the main enemy of the Palestinian people. Over the last four decades, there has been a prevailing misconception by liberal and pro-Western Arab intellectuals, business people, and political elites that Western liberals and even some conservatives had changed their views of Palestinians and became less hostile towards them. The white Western contempt for the Palestinian people is a solid tradition that goes back at least to the 19th century. At the time, indigenous Palestinians resisted white American, white British, German, evangelical Protestant fanatics who sought to establish colonies in Palestine. The British had also sponsored a project of converting European Jews to Protestant Christians and dispatching them to Palestine to colonize the land. But as this project achieved limited success, it led to the rise of Jewish Zionism. The Jewish Zionists of the late 19th century onwards showed similar contempt for the Palestinian people, whose defeat, death, and expulsion they sought in order to fulfill their project of settler colonization in the land of Palestine. The British Foreign Secretary at the time, Lord Balfour, the Balfour Declaration, and the League of Nations, which adopted Balfour's pledge after the First World War, considered the Palestinian people at best an annoyance and at worst dispensable for the purpose of securing the transfer of European Jews from Europe to Palestine as colonists. European and American racist contempt for the Palestinians was informed by traditional white colonial attitudes towards non-white peoples before the Second World War. After the war, the same European Christians and their Zionist Jewish allies would make Palestinians pay the price for Christian Europe's crimes by forcing them to surrender their homeland to the invading Zionists. After the Zionists expelled the majority of people in 1948, and once again, dispensable Palestinians were considered no more than the Arab refugee problem, as United Nations resolutions would begin to refer to them and were forgotten and relegated to the dustbin of history. European Jews did not arrive as refugees, but as invaders, whose sole purpose was to appropriate Palestine by any means possible to realize Zionist colonial aspirations, which began half a century earlier, before the rise of Adolf Hitler. This is why Palestinians view European Jews not as helpless refugees, but rather as armed colonialists committing massacres in their land. It is this perspective that Edward Said wanted to convey in his classic essay, Zionism from the Standpoint of Its Victims. The most recent earthquake that the Palestinian resistance operation, the Al-Aqsa Flood, brought about has caused Westerners of all political stripes to revert to a default position, namely that of outright condemnation of the resistance of Palestinians and support for the European colonizers, who were depicted as victims, not as the resistance of an indigenous people they have subjugated at least since 1948, but of yet another violence by anti-Semites. The website Truth Out has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to the Rome Statute, an individual can be convicted of genocide in the International Criminal Court if he or she aids, abets, or otherwise assists in the commission or attempted commission of genocide, which includes providing the means for its commission. In addition to the $3.8 billion a year that the US furnishes Israel for military assistance, the Biden administration is sending overwhelming firepower and providing diplomatic cover for the Israeli regime's war crimes on the Palestinian lands, particularly the Gaza Strip. One U.S. aircraft carrier with a strike group is ready in eastern Mediterranean Sea, and a second U.S. aircraft carrier is headed there now. three marine warships carrying thousands of Marines are en route to the area. U.S. Special Operation Forces are helping the Israeli military with their planning and intelligence. U.S. War Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered 2,000 U.S. forces, which will likely include Air Force and Army personnel, to prepare for deployment in the area. President Joe Biden has never condemned Israel's indiscriminate killing and massacring, starvation and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with President Raisi and his cabinet on August 30, 2023, on the occasion of Government Week. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon Master Muhammad and upon his pure progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. May our souls be sacrificed for his sakes, Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallah. I would like to welcome all of you here, Mr. President, gentlemen, and our honorable brothers and sisters. I benefited from your reports. I wouldn't have minded if others had given more reports, but since you mentioned that the gentlemen here have requested, I will share a few words with you. Government Week is in fact a link connecting one chapter of the government's life to another chapter. So during this week, you are looking at the year that has passed while also looking at the year ahead. You can make comparisons, you can gain experience, and you can learn lessons from these. This week is adorned with the names of the two noble martyrs, Martyr Raja'i and Martyr Bahonar. There is a point to note here. What images is in our minds of these two martyrs that we would like our ministers, officials, and senior managers to strive toward? What is that image?
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We did not have the opportunity to see the output of their work. Martyr Rajai was president for about a month, and Martyr Bahonar was prime minister during the same period. Martyr Rajai had also previously been prime minister for several months and had faced a difficult situation at that time. Therefore, we are not concerned with the output of these two honorable men, and we do not have any signs or traces of their work. What is it that we are concerned with then? Why do we speak about these two individuals? The point is their intention, is their orientation. The orientation of these two dear martyrs was toward Allah and the revolution. Those who knew these two up close can verify my words that these two men were pursuing something that all martyrs and all those who fight for the cause of Allah are pursuing. This is what they were seeking. In other words, their lives were in line with their destiny. They sought God's satisfaction, just like all our martyrs did and all those who struggled sincerely for the cause of Allah.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
In the limelight.
The United Nations has voted overwhelmingly in favor of a humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has reiterated the Islamic Republic of Iran's support for the oppressed Palestinian people in the face of Israeli regime's brutal crimes. Amir Abdollahian made the remark in a meeting with the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Friday, 27th of October in New York, to which the top Iranian diplomat has traveled to attend an extraordinary meeting of the UN General Assembly on the issue of Palestine. Amir Abdollahian said the Islamic Republic has placed consistent support for the Palestinian people's liberating struggle and resistance with the aim of complete realization of their human rights among the substantive principles of its foreign policy. Amir Abdollahian repeated Tehran's vehement condemnation of Tel Aviv's ongoing genocide in the Palestinian territory of the Gaza Strip, which the occupying regime has brought under a relentless war for the past 3 weeks. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression on 7th of October has now reached over 7,400, with more than 20,500 wounded. Silence on the part of some countries, as well as support by the United States, has emboldened the Israeli occupying regime in its deadly attacks against civilians in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian called on the international community, especially the United Nations Security Council, to take prompt action and decisive action and act upon their duty to support the Palestinian people's resistance. He said, Iran backs whatever political solution that would enable immediate cessation of the Israeli regime's ongoing crimes against humanity and genocide in Gaza, continuous transfer of humanitarian aid to the Palestinian territory and prevention of the people of Gaza's forced displacement. Amin Abdullahian warned that the persistence of the occupying regime's war crimes against the people of Gaza opens the door for the expansion of the hostilities and the formation of new fronts against the Zionist regime across the region. The Iranian foreign minister said establishment of sustainable and just peace in the region would only be possible through the complete cessation of Palestine's occupation, the return of Palestinian refugees to their homeland, and the implementation of a referendum featuring all of Palestine's original inhabitants, and eventually the formation of an independent Palestinian state with the city of Al-Quds as its capital. For his part, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, laid emphasis on Iran's exceptional role in the region, urging the continuation of the Islamic Republic's diplomatic efforts and constructive political endeavors. The UN Secretary General described the current humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip as catastrophic, urging all sides to enable immediate cessation of the warfare and transfer of humanitarian aid to the territory. Antonio Guterres stressed the world body's insistence on political resolution of the standing situation. Meanwhile, the United Nations General Assembly has overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling for implementation of an immediate humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. On Friday, 27th of October, the UN General Assembly voted in favor of the resolution that had been drafted by Arab countries, with 120 votes in favor, 45 abstentions, and 14 votes against, including Israel and the United States. The UN General Assembly adopted calls for an immediate, durable, and sustained humanitarian truce leading to a cessation of hostilities. The Israeli regime has been waging war against the Gaza Strip since 7th of October, when Hamas and its fellow Gaza-based resistance movement of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad launched their biggest operation against the occupying regime in years. The surprise Palestinian offensive, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, came in response to the Israeli regime's intensified crimes against Palestinians. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression has now reached over 7,400, with more than 20,500 Palestinians wounded. The vote at the UN General Assembly came after the United Nations Security Council failed four times in the past 2 weeks to take action, due to the United States' vetoing of resolutions against Israel. The Assembly stressed the importance of preventing further destabilization and escalation of violence in the region, and called on all parties to exercise maximum restraint and upon all those with influence on those countries to work towards this objective. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime has rejected all calls for a ceasefire, claiming it would benefit the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas. The UN General Assembly also called on the Israeli regime to rescind its order for Palestinian civilians in Gaza to move to the south of the territory. Israel ordered 1.1 million people in Gaza, almost half of the population of the Strip, to move south on 12th of October, amid threats by the Israeli regime to launch a ground invasion of Gaza. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, and the Palestinian Self-Rule Authority have welcomed the United Nations General Assembly resolution. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority welcomed the UN resolution and demanded it be implemented immediately. "We demand its immediate application to allow the entry of fuel and humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza," a statement by the resistance movement Hamas emphasized. The rival Ramallah-based Palestinian Authority's foreign ministry said, "As Israel's campaign reaches a new peak of brutality, there was a solid international position rejecting Israel's unhinged aggression." The Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The United Nations General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly in favor of a resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian truce between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas. the 193-member UN General Assembly passed a resolution drafted by a group of 22 Arab countries by a margin of 120 votes in favour, 14 votes against, with 45 countries abstaining from voting. The United States of America and the Israeli regime voted no to the resolution. Speaking before the vote, the Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi said the voting against the resolution means approving this senseless war, this senseless killing. Israel denounced the UN vote as infamy. The resolution is non-binding but serves as a barometer of global opinion as fighting between the Israeli regime and the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas nears the end of its third week following an assault by Hamas on southern Israel that killed more than 1,400 people. The UN body convened as Israel's intensified bombardment of the Gaza Strip, where phone and internet services have been cut off completely and Israel has engaged in limited ground skirmishes before an expected ground invasion of Gaza. The UN General Assembly voted after the UN Security Council had failed to take action over the past 2 weeks, with the United States using its veto to back the Israeli regime. The adopted resolution calls for an immediate, durable and sustained humanitarian truce leading to a complete cessation of hostilities and firmly rejects any attempt at the forced transfer of Palestinian civilian population in the Gaza Strip. The UN General Assembly resolution also stresses the need to avoid a wider escalation of the fighting and demands increased humanitarian aid for the Gaza Strip, where only a small handful of trucks carrying aid have been allowed to enter the territory. A Canadian introduced amendment to the resolution that would have added a condemnation of the Palestinian side did not receive the necessary two-thirds of votes. Meanwhile, the Israeli United Nations Ambassador Gilad Erdan said a ceasefire means giving Hamas time to rearm itself and that the vote was not intended to bring peace but to tie Israel's hands. Speaking on Thursday, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, said the only place for this resolution belongs in the dustbin of history. The resolution, meanwhile, was adopted overwhelmingly by the UN General Assembly.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
In response to a call by the Palestinian revolutionary factions, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in Jaramana refugee camp in Damascus to show their support for Gaza and the resistance front.
Today we reaffirm our right to return, determine our fate and establish our Palestinian state and our land with its capital in Al-Quds. We came today as civilians, but we confirm to the Zionist enemy that we can become fighters at any time.
Today we are sending a message to the entire world to see what is happening to our people in Palestine and the injustices they face, particularly women and children.
Protesters expressed their unwavering support for Gaza, pledging to lay down their lives in defense of Palestine and affirming that martyrdom is the only way to reclaim the right of liberating their land.
Today, amidst the challenging circumstances faced by Gaza, we observe a significant bias in Western media, which conceals the truths and events unfolding in Gaza, from Syria, a resilient nation, and from the Jarmana camp, in the heart of the capital Damascus. These people declare, "We as Palestinians and Syrians are brothers in blood and arms."
The crowds condemned the complicity of Western media in the heinous crimes committed by Israel against Palestinians and expressed their trust in the resistance media to reveal the truth.
While the Western media outlets turn a blind eye to over 2 million Palestinians trapped under daily Israeli bombing in Gaza, the Syrian people tell the world, we believe in resistance and we will support Palestine until victory. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
On Friday, a two-day conference dubbed Stop World War III kicked off in the Italian capital. Dozens of geopolitical analysts, delegates from peace movements and individuals took part in the event, which is aimed at discussing the root causes of the war between Russia and Ukraine and Israel's aggression on the Gaza Strip. Experts at the conference are saying the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip could possibly spill over to turn into a wider regional conflict and drag in more countries amid the Russia-Ukraine war and other geopolitical tensions across the globe. There are speculations that potential ripple effects of these conflicts could develop into a new world war. Conference speakers all agreed that the current wars have been triggered by the US and supported by its closest allies to maintain a unipolar world order, which is being called into question by billions of people across the globe.
We are in a historical transitional phase from a US-led decaying monopolar global order to a new one. Those representing the old order are wounded beasts, and wounded beasts are extremely dangerous.
Regarding the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war, some analysts and top officials pointed out that the conflict did not start neither on February 24 last year, nor when the US incited the 2014 coup, but farther back in time with the expansion of NATO towards Eastern Europe.
The NATO in the present form is the most source of war danger in Europe and in the world. And that's why NATO not only should stop expansion, but NATO should stop its existence.
Israel is a supremacist, racist, warmongering and colonialist state. This state does not represent the Jewish community as a whole. There is a deep split in it, as many Jews are against Zionism.
On Friday, the United Nations urged Israel to put an end to its collective punishment of the entire population of the Gaza Strip, noting that collective punishment is a war crime. Max Civili, Rome.
As the Israeli regime's onslaught on Gaza continues, protests in the Lebanese capital Beirut have not diminished. Words of solidarity and chants are the only weapon people here have to express their anger. But Beirut is not only condemning Israeli crimes, but also remembering those killed in the Israeli targeting of civilians. Abdulrahman al-Hassani, also known as Abed, Palestinian living and working in Lebanon, lost 10 members of his family in one night as a result of the Israeli shelling.
This blood that has been shed is a gift to every free person in the world so we can all live with dignity. No matter how far this enemy goes with its killing, we must live freely and honorably and take the path which has been lit for us by the martyrs. This blood of the children, women, elderly and youth is the most precious thing we have to give in order to see Palestine, which yearns for life and freedom without an oppressive occupier.
His friends, who were heartbroken and came to give their condolences, were stunned with how he greeted them with a smile on his face.
As you can see, the smile doesn't leave his face. He's happy for his family because they believe this is what they've been raised to do until they achieve liberation. But at the same time, this should expose what the barbaric actions of the Israelis happening in Gaza. We believe that we are all in this together.
Actually, no words are enough to deliver what we feel toward the massacre that happens, and also towards the smile that Abdulrahman is really expressing. All his family members are martyrs, and this is such a big thing. But it is so normal for the Gaza people, for the Palestinian people, who are day after day standing, resisting this criminal, Israel.
They know that this is the price that they have paid
that they have to pay for liberation of their land. And he just lost 10 members of his family, including his sister. I mean, he had this very beautiful relationship with his sister, and she has a beautiful daughter. She's 2 years old. Her name is Ward, and he just lost her, and it's been a long time since he last see them.
But you can see a lot of resilience. You can still see a lot of patience. God has given him so much patience. I have no idea how he's been able to go through all of that.
In addition to his uncle and brother, who were leaders in the Palestinian resistance, at least 5 children were killed during this massacre, which is one of the many taking place in Gaza amid international silence. Abed's family is one of many in Gaza that are willing to give their lives for the sake of their homeland. While the Israeli atrocities have led to global condemnation on the barbaric nature of the regime's practices, yet Palestinian people believe that their sacrifices is a necessary step on the path to liberation. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The Turkish president has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza while announcing the cancellation of a planned visit to Israel. Erdogan said his problem was not with the Israeli people, but with Netanyahu's cabinet and its inhumane war against Palestinians in Gaza. The Turkish president also considered Hamas a group of fighters defending their land, rejecting the term terrorist that Israel and the Western officials often use in reference to the Palestinian resistance movement.
We had a project to go to Israel, but it was cancelled. We will not go. Israel has taken advantage of Turkey's good intentions. I urge for an immediate ceasefire. Hamas is not a terrorist group, but a group of liberators and mujahideen fighting to protect their homeland and their citizens.
The Turkish president said the international community should learn a lesson from previous failed peace negotiations between the two sides. Erdogan assured that Turkey can be a mediator on a new round of talks, while also insisting on the importance of Palestinian unity to make it work. He added that he was saddened by the United Nations Assembly's inability to reach a resolution for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the Turkish people continue to hold a protest across the country, condemning the Israeli aggressions in Gaza. People in major cities have been calling on their government to intervene in order to end the siege on the Gaza Strip and stop the killing of innocent civilians. More than 6,000 Palestinians have been killed and around 18,000 others injured since the start of the Israeli war in the Gaza Strip. Over 50% of the buildings in the blockaded strip are also destroyed. This, the result of only 3 weeks of Israel's relentless bombardment of the besieged territory. Meanwhile, the world leaders are either apt to support the regime's atrocities or remain silent. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Ambassadors of Arab and Islamic countries to Russia expressed their support for Palestinians, condemning the brutal Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. They slammed the ethnic cleansing carried out by Israel against Palestinians with the support of the United States. Iran's ambassador to Moscow, Kazem Jalali, emphasized that the genocide of the Palestinian people is a tragedy for all humanity. He also described Israel's crimes against the Palestinians as disgusting and shameful.
For the past 75 years, the Israeli regime has been killing, imprisoning Palestinians and exterminating people. Imam Khomeini said that the Israeli regime was not the regime that wanted to move towards peace from the very beginning. As long as Israel exists, the region will not see peace. The U.S. condones its crimes. 45 resolutions were vetoed by the United States in the UN and Security Council, preventing the voice of the Palestinian people from being heard.
The tragedy of both Arabs and Muslims began with the Balfour Declaration in 1917. Since then, they have been confronting not only Israel, but also everyone who sponsors, supports, and justifies the crimes of this regime.
There is not enough reason for Israel and for the international community and for European and for American to stand against with Israel against Palestinian. In Gaza, we are living more than 2.5 million Palestinian civilian. You know, and from the day one they closed water, electricity, fuel, anything.
Lebanon position is very clear. We don't want war. We don't want any provocation, but at the same time, we are ready to defend our land. We are ready to defend our dignity. We are ready to defend our people. And Israel has to stop its aggression on Lebanon, on Palestine, and on Syria. A small group of Hamas who have proved that small group of people who have the belief in their cause and who are insisted to go back to their own land and to regain their own right, they can do, a heroic things as they did.
We protest against the genocide committed by the Israeli occupiers in Palestine in general and in the Gaza Strip in particular. As Palestinians abroad, we still believe this is the end of Israel. What happened on October 7th is direct evidence of Israel's shame and disgrace. It is obvious that they cannot resist the Palestinian people. Israel's furious revenge in the form of bombs and missiles on our land and peaceful people is the revenge of despair. We cannot stop at written and verbal condemnations of the Israeli genocide. How many more Palestinian children must die for the whole world to come to their defense? Does this mean that what is happening in Ukraine is a war according to international rules and the direct extermination of Palestinians is the defense of Israel?
The participants in the event stressed that despite all the lies about the Palestinian people that the Israeli regime and the United States have spread, the issue of Palestine remains a central and righteous cause. To this day, the United Nations confirms in all its documents that the Palestinian territories are occupied and has adopted several resolutions in favor of Palestinians.
Ordinary people around the world are heartbroken over relentless Israeli bombings of the Gaza Strip that have left thousands of Palestinians dead and thousands more wounded so far. Moscovites continue to shower flowers to mourn the Palestinian victims. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Palestinians mourned the death of Omar Daraghmi, a senior Hamas member who had recently been arrested in the occupied West Bank, while Israeli prison authorities insist that his Monday death was a normal death. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank insist that Israel's intensified crackdown on prisoners led to the murder of Daraghmi. Here, outside the building of the International Committee of the Red Cross in Ramallah, Palestinians gathered to mourn the death of Daraghmi. The Commission of Prisoners Affairs told Press TV that according to Daraghmi's lawyer, hours before his death, Daraghmi had appeared before a court hearing and seemed to be in good health.
Martyr Omar Daraghmi was murdered due to attacks he suffered, because only hours earlier he was in good condition. The lawyer of Omar Daraghmi said he spoke to him via video conference and was told he was doing fine. A few hours later, he was declared dead. We know the prisoners reject to be taken to court hearings under the current situation because they are being beaten and assaulted following the hearing. We believe this happened with Omar. He faced a brutal assault leading to his martyrdom.
Hamas movement has also accused Israel of killing Daraghmi, one of its senior leaders in the occupied West Bank. In a press release, the movement held Israel responsible for his death, describing it as an assassination. An Israeli statement claimed his death was due to a heart attack. He was arrested on October 9 and placed under administrative detention. Since October 7, overnight arrest rates into Palestinian cities have escalated. Prisoner advocacy groups say Israeli forces have arrested over 1,300 Palestinians since October 7. They say these prisoners suffer from severe mistreatment and are in dire conditions.
It's part of the war being carried out against our people in the West Bank. It's part of the reprisals. Israeli forces arrest hundreds of people and keep them under administrative detention to keep terrifying the Palestinians. Israel is making Palestinian prisoners pay the price of its failure in Gaza, and it only acts with a tendency of revenge.
Over the past 2 weeks, rights groups revealed that Israel has also arrested some 4,000 laborers from Gaza who were working in Israel and is now holding them in military bases. Amar Daraghmi is not the first Palestinian murdered in Israeli jails. Many Palestinian detainees have been killed in regimes of prisons, either due to medical negligence or torture. This has time and again angered Palestinians, who accused the regime of deliberately killing prisoners. Munakandi, occupied Jamallah.